It's almost Christmas, and it always amuses me. Last week I was looking at some shopping websites, because that's how you do your shopping these days. You go online to do your shopping, and they had their banners up, and this was probably, I don't know, say the 15th, 16th thereabouts, and it was all last minute Christmas deals. And I'm kind of scratching my head, because when I was a student, Christmas shopping was something that was done on Christmas Eve. That's what you did. Before online shopping, that, you know, you weren't organised that way, and it's really changed, hasn't it? And you went out on Christmas, this is what I remember anyway, when I was 18, 19, and you went out and you did your Christmas shopping, and you had a target. You know, you were there, and then the shops closed at 4 o'clock or whatever time it was. You just had to do it at that point. That's what I call last minute shopping, not the 15th or 16th of December. Shopping seems to be earlier and earlier, doesn't it? You know, Black Friday and even before that, you know, there's this huge build-up to Christmas Day, isn't it? And I think because there's so much commercialisation, that actually for a lot of people, Christmas is a disappointment. Really. What I want you to think about tonight is, are you prepared and are you ready? Are you ready for Christmas? Have you really thought about what Christmas is all about? And I really want to focus tonight on what Christmas is all about. And yes, we focus on this every Christmas. And yes, we do it throughout Advent. One of the things that amuses me at this time of year, okay, is that we read the Christmas story. And the rest of the year, if we're looking at Nehemiah, we follow in our Bibles. If we're looking at any other passages, we follow in our Bibles. And quite often I'll say in the morning service, you know, please look up in your Bible, we'll follow this reading. But quite often at Christmas we don't bother, because we think we know the story so well that we think, you know, well, we'll just trust to memory. You know, Donna said that Mary rode in a donkey. We don't know that. We actually don't know if she came in a donkey. She probably walked, actually. You know, how many wise men were there? Well, we sometimes think there's three, but that's the three gifts. It wasn't necessarily three wise men. There's lots of wee things that we don't pick up on the Christmas story. Even what Margie was telling us tonight about the swaddling bands. And that's why year on year it's good for us to revisit this story and to try and look at it with fresh eyes. And not just to trust what I'm saying, because I could be wrong. So you follow in your Bible and you read it for yourself. And if I'm wrong, you tell me. It's really important that you tell me. It's good that we focus on the real story, isn't it? It's good that we focus upon what it's all about, because in the white noise of Christmas, with the commercialisation and the turkey and the tinsel, you know, and it's not wrong to enjoy some of these things. I'm not, certainly not saying, I'm not Scrooge, okay? You know, I enjoy my Christmas dinner. I enjoy pulling a cracker. You know, I enjoy, you know, some Christmas songs and whatever else, yeah? But it's important, isn't it, to remember what it's truly about. Because sometimes we can be so focused on the cultural aspects that when they disappoint us, we feel disappointed with them, don't we? It's when we're focused on what it's truly about that it never disappoints us. That's what we have to realise. Jesus is not a disappointment. Your Christmas presents this year might be a disappointment, but Jesus is never a disappointment. So Christmas after Christmas, you're never disappointed. That's wonderful, isn't it? Now what I want to focus on tonight is the incarnation. Now what is the incarnation? Well, it's the doctrine that the second person of the Trinity assumed human form in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and is completely and fully God and man. That's what the incarnation is. And that's what happens at Christmas. That Jesus comes into the world and is fully God and fully man. And that's what we really need to focus on this Christmas. And actually, it was all in John chapter 1. You just need to focus on what John says there in the first 18 verses. Because we have to remember that we've all got a problem, don't we? We all have a problem. Throughout history, we have had this problem. Ever since Adam and Eve were in the garden and they ate from the apple, which they shouldn't have eaten. They ate the fruit from the tree, which they should have. I've assumed it's an apple. Might not have been an apple. There you go. You need to go and look for that. Okay. I almost fell into that trap. It's always an apple in the pictures, isn't it? It's always an apple. It could have been a banana. We have no idea what it was. Adam and Eve fell into sin. They were thrown out of the garden. And so from a really close relationship with God, remember they walked in the garden with God. How wonderful that must have been to speak with God, just to walk with Him. And because of their sin, that relationship broken, thrown out of the garden, angels set as guards with flaming swords. Why were they thrown out? Because God is a God who is pure and perfect and holy. We looked at holiness the past few weeks in our evening services. And so what happens? Now, you might think, you know, that is a heartless God. God throwing Adam and Eve out of the garden. Now, remember, He also provided animal skins for them, so it wasn't that heartless. But God had a plan. God always had a plan. And if you look back in your Bibles, into Genesis, you will see that right from the beginning, God had a plan. Now, it was worked all the way through history. Remember, God set aside a people for Himself. He made promises to Abraham to say, I'm going to give you descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. He made promises to Abraham to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. And remember how the Israelites were in Egypt and yet were brought out by Moses and then led by Joshua into the promised land. He made a covenant with that people. He gave them the laws to follow. Remember Moses on Mount Sinai, how he was given the Ten Commandments and the other laws as well. He set aside a people for Himself. But He also promised that someone was going to come. And you see it throughout Scripture that someone is going to come, a Messiah, the Christ. Someone who's going to reign on David's throne forever and ever. And so the Jews, these set aside people that God had made these promises to, were waiting. They were waiting and they were waiting and they were waiting. They disobeyed God, remember? They were sent into exile for a long period, then they were restored again. And in between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there is 400 years or so of pretty much silence. Nothing. No prophets. No word from God at all. And then suddenly, into that silence, comes John the Baptist. That's interesting, isn't it? John the Baptist comes. Remember how it's prophesied when he's born, he's the one who's going to be the forerunner to Jesus. And remember his message, this strange man out in the wilderness, telling the people to repent. And if you think about it, because sometimes I think we forget about this, after so many years of silence, and the people are under oppression from the Romans, you can understand why they're so hopeful about this man, John. You know, they want to go out. They want to repent. They think, is John the one? Is he going to be the one that's going to be the Messiah? Is he the one that's going to bring in the kingdom of God? But John chapter 1 makes it clear, John the Baptist is not the one, is he? He is not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. But the light was coming. That's the exciting thing, isn't it? The Word was coming, and Jesus came into the world. Now, what's important to realize here, and sometimes we forget this, don't we? Jesus is fully God. That is amazing. Jesus is fully God. He is described in John's Gospel as the Word. And the Word was with God at the beginning. And remember, there's a kind of link here between, you know, when everything was created, God did it. He didn't do it with His, well, we're not told He did it with His hands. We're not told He created things in that way. He created things with a Word. And they came into being. That's how it happened. Jesus is described as the Word. He was there with God at the beginning. Right at the start. Before time came into existence, Jesus was there. Through Him, all things were made. Jesus is God. From everlasting, He is God. Sometimes we lose focus of that. We think, you know, Jesus was born and that's when His life started. No. Jesus was there right at the beginning. This is how this is so amazing. That Jesus is God. And yet, the Word became flesh. Wow. Made His dwelling among us, weak humans. And this is what happened when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He who is God, who has all attributes of God, who is holy in every way, and is from everlasting, came into human history and became flesh. He became human and He dwelt among us. Now this is really amazing, isn't it? How can this be that God would dwell with His people? How could that ever happen? It's mind-blowing when you think about it, isn't it? And yet so often we're like, oh, just want to get home to my turkey. You know, we miss the point, don't we? This is the most important thing about Christmas. That Jesus, who is God, came to earth as a baby, was born in poverty, in a stable, cave, whatever it was, placed in a manger wrapped in swaddling bands. His life came under threat very early on from Herod, had to go as a refugee off to Egypt. These are quite astonishing things. That's God we're talking about here. And yet He came in human flesh. How can this be that God would dwell with His people? Even the Israelites couldn't have expected such a Messiah. They were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a king. I think they were probably looking for a military king. That's what they were looking for, isn't it? But this is God. And God does things that are beyond their imaginings. He does things that are unbelievable and amazing. And this is God reaching out to us in love when ultimately we could not reach out to Him. This is God saying, I love you so much, I am giving you my Son. The greatest gift that you could ever receive. This is God giving us the greatest gift of all. The very gift we need. Jesus is God on earth. This is God in His own creation. That's astounding, isn't it? And He came as the Saviour of the world. He came to deal with our sin that separates us from God, to pay the price for it and to conquer death, that we may come into the presence of God Himself and have the hope of heaven. And what I want to say to you tonight, that this is the most amazing, most incredible story in the world. You can never be bored of this story. Really, you can never be jaded with this story. And if we are, we haven't understood this story at all. Because it's when we sit down, we understand the holiness of God. Who God is in His character. That God would willingly give His Son. And Jesus came into the world. Jesus could have stayed with the Father in heaven for eternity. There's no need for God to reach out to us. And yet He does, in grace and in love. And He says, I want you to be with me. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? To know that you are loved so much. There's so much of a lack of love in our world, isn't there? People who do not know love. We don't know a mother's love or a father's love or whatever kind of love it might be. And yet we know an everlasting love, a love that will never let us down. Because we know that Jesus came into the world for us, that we might come into His very presence. This is the most amazing, most incredible story in the world. I want to say to you tonight, simply, do you really believe this story? Do you really believe it? Because if you do, it is a life-changing story. Now, in many ways, it's an unbelievable story, isn't it? How can this be? How can God come into His creation? That seems impossible. But we know nothing's impossible with God. That's the thing, isn't it? You know, humanly speaking, okay, you know, trying to get your mind around it is mind-blowing. You simply cannot get your mind around it. Do you believe it? Some didn't. Even in Jesus' time, some didn't. That's what it says in this passage, isn't it? He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. That's the astounding thing, isn't it? And there was a number recorded in the Gospels who came into contact with Jesus and basically said, "No thanks, Jesus. I don't want to know you." There were others for other different reasons. You know, I just want my own power. You know, Jesus, too much for us. You know, I'm doing my own thing here. Pharisees, Sadducees, other C's, whatever other leaders there were at that time. You know, they didn't want to know Jesus. Some didn't recognize him. Some didn't receive him. Do you recognize him? Do you say, "This Jesus is the Messiah that I need. He is the Son of God"? And do you receive him? Because sometimes we can recognize and say, "Oh, that's true." And then we go out of here and our lives don't change. Or do we truly say, "You know, I recognize you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. You are the Son of God. You're human flesh. And yet you've come into the world for me." Do you receive him? Do you say, "Jesus, this Christmas, I receive you. I receive your love. I receive your compassion, your grace, because I understand all that you have done for me"? Do you recognize him? Do you receive him? Because this is God at work. This can only be God at work. Who could have thought up this story? That God would come to earth. Who could think that up? And yet it was the only way. The only way that we could come to God. The only way that we could have a relationship with him. And God did it. That's the wonder of this story. God did it. He didn't just leave us and say, you're beyond the pale. You know, I can't reach out to you. You're too far gone." He said, "I want you. I want you to be with me forever and ever and ever. And therefore, I send my son." You see, that is the reason why when the angel appeared to the shepherds, I think all the other angels appeared. They were so excited. You know, this was mind-blowing, out-of-the-box stuff. And they were so excited. Sometimes we say Christmas is just for the children, don't they? There's a number that say to me, "Oh, your kids are at a good age. You know, 9 and 5, you know, that's one." And it is, of course it is, you know. Brilliant time for Christmas. But each one of us, no wonder, no matter if we're 5, 55, 105, we should be excited about Christmas, because this is God at work, and this is God giving you the greatest gift of all. And when you understand truly who Jesus is and what he's doing for you, we're not quite so excited about the turkey, are we? We're not quite so excited about the Brussels sprouts. We're not quite so excited about these things. And these are excited things. Yeah, we're excited about them. Yes, okay, we are. But we're much more excited about what Jesus has done for us. Shall we just pray? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you for these words that we find in John's Gospel about the Word becoming flesh. The Word who was with God, the Word who was God, with God in the beginning. The one and only Son, who is himself God and has the closest relationship with the Father. And yet, he came to the world. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And Father, we recognize that this is amazing. This is unbelievable. And yet we recognize that nothing is impossible with you. And we recognize that this was the only way. Because you, Lord God, are a holy God. And you cannot abide sin in your sight. You're also a God of complete justice. And so there needed to be payment for our sin. Only God himself could pay for our sin. And Jesus came, fully God, fully man. He died on the cross at Calvary. And we see at the cross your wrath and your love mingled together. We see your mercy and we see your grace. And we see the depth of the love that you have for each one of us. And so, loving Lord God, we pray during this Christmas period, as we enjoy all aspects of Christmas, that we would put Jesus first and foremost in our thoughts and in our minds and our hearts, and that, Lord God, we would give him the glory, the honour and the praise. So, Heavenly Father, we pray that we would be excited about Jesus this Christmas time, that we wouldn't be jaded by the Christmas story, but we would be focused upon him, and we would be so excited about the light of the world, because Jesus has come into the world as the light, and the darkness will never overcome him. So, Heavenly Father, speak to us through your word tonight, we pray.